Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." By the way, he didn't need to go to Jericho to get here. It was out of his way. But how many of y'all know the Lord will go out of his way to help you? Oh, wish somebody else would help me preach today. "Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich." So we don't like him for two reasons. One, he's rich. And two, nobody likes tax collectors. Come on, give me an amen. We don't even let him in here. I like the bumper sticker that said, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." So they don't like him. And in fact, in my mind, when I'm reading the story of Zacchaeus, I picture him, and they'll show you a picture. I Googled it. I picture him as Joe Pesci, okay? So I see Zacchaeus with this Joe Pesci mojo going on. He's got LMS. You know what that is? It's little man syndrome. It's like they're short, but they're like, "Hey, who's you?" And so he's aggravated. He's mean-spirited. And so, but he is smart. But he's got all this money, but now he needs to see Jesus. So the Bible said that he ran ahead and he climbed up in the tree so he could see. He was elevated. However, while he was elevated, that means that everyone down here who didn't like him could see him. So they started throwing rocks at him and talking bad about him. But he was there, not for them. He was there for him. Can I get an amen? And so while he was climbing the tree, the ladder of success, he's got this thing. The Bible says that he couldn't see because he was short. I want to talk to you in the areas that you're short. Short-tempered. You're short in your mindsets because you have low self-esteem because you were beat down by someone or something, and it's now made you only feel significant when you're climbing. So, the reason why I know about this is because my dad loved me. But I grew up poor, and I was really poor. We couldn't afford a therapist, could have used a therapist, but didn't have a therapist. But I try to fix myself. Anybody here self-medicate yourself? You're like, "I can figure me out," and I talk to me. And aren't you glad for Bluetooth devices? So now it looks like you're on the phone while you're arguing with yourself about what's going on. I don't know what's going on, but I got a problem. I'm just jacked up right now. I got a problem. So you ever lost an argument with yourself? You know, you're fighting, but you argue. So there's this inner dialogue going on in our head all the time, and Zacchaeus had this. And so since he's already got this Joe Pesci, you know, "Man, I'm a bad dude. People don't like me anyway." He just became that. More of that. Sometimes when I'm short with people, I found out because I'm short in an area, and part of the area that I was short in is I didn't get, and you can't cry about it, you just got to deal with it, I didn't get the affirmation from my father. My dad loved me, but he couldn't give to me because of his insecurity. Also, he didn't go through growth track, so he didn't know connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, make a difference. In growth track, I teach you the five love languages. So everybody speaks love languages. My dad's love language was gifts, so he would try to give me something. My tank would still be empty because I didn't want to watch. I wanted him to watch me and say, "Oh, that was good. Oh, I like that." See what I'm saying? So I was coming up short in this area, so then I would be mean-spirited, and then I started looking for love in all the wrong places. Anybody in here? Come on, raise your hand if you were a sinner. Raise your hand. I want to see who's a liar. Okay, still a lot of liars here. But I was a sinner and I liked it. I did sin good. I was a good sinner. Don't tell your kids sin isn't fun because they'll go sin and think, "I guess mama didn't know how to sin good because I'm having fun." The Bible said that sin is fun for a season, but the wages of sin is death. Okay, so I was insecure because my dad loved me. Now this is, you ought to stick with me on this. He loved me, but he loved me so much. He was afraid that I'd be successful. Then I would leave him. So he couldn't control my destiny. So what he did is he tried to hurt me with education. You don't need to learn that. He would always pull me out of school all the time. I thought he loved me. He did love me, but he didn't want me really educated because if I was educated, I'd be able to find freedom on my own. I'd be on my own. I'd be able to think on my own. And he didn't want that to happen. So he always kept me with him. So I never even graduated high school. So now I'm in this thing where now I'm feeling even short education-wise. So now we're moving. We're living in a travel trailer. So every 7 to 10 days, we would go to a different city, maybe a different state. And I'd have to try to win friends and influence people. Red Rover, invite, what's your name? Yeah, I don't even know if I want you on my team. But then eventually we now moved to St. Louis and we're there a lot more. So then I started finding out that, hey, I could find friends. But I was short in this affirmation area for my dad. So then I would say, well, I could be successful somewhere and I want friends. So I met a girl. I kissed a girl and I liked it. And then I started doing more stuff with a girl and I liked that. And then my dad saw her because she came to church because she had gyvation. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It wasn't salvation. It was gyvation. She came to church because he liked me. And my dad saw her and he said, I'm telling you, my spirit, Holy Ghost guy, my spirit set off and the Holy Ghost revealed to me that she is a bad girl. And I thought, oh, and that's why I like that girl. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Be honest with you. This is a therapy session in front of all y'all. So I was doing things with her that I shouldn't be doing because over here I wasn't affirmed like I need to be affirmed. My dad was trying to control me, but it was actually coming up short. So now I'm thinking I can climb here. Maybe she'll like me. I'll climb there and maybe they'll like me. And so many people in life think that if I climb up the ladder of success and I get married, that'll be the answer. If I have kids, trust me, that is not the answer. So we're always coming up short in an area, but when you actually drill down and you find out that you were created for good works, that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, that God's doing something on the inside of you. He no longer wants you to climb up this tree. He wants you to accept the fact that he hung on the tree 2,000 years ago so we don't have to climb, somebody ought to help me right now, to the top of this thing and try to impress people because they're not impressed. When you're short, you got LMS, people don't like you. Because you just talk about you. We'll talk about great, I did this, I did that, did the other, did the other, blah, 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 blah. You ever heard people that's like, okay, enough about me. What do you think about me? No. You're coming up short. If you want to run friends and influence people, if you want to have a good marriage, if you want to have good kids, you have to be interested in other people. But if you're really short-sighted and you're short with people because you're insecure, you're now operating in an inferiority complex, which is in fear, and you got to get out of fear and get into faith and realize that God created you in his likeness and his image, that you have a unique thumbprint to leave an imprint that nobody else can ever, somebody ought to give God praise today, that no one else can have. So Jesus looks up in the tree and he says to him, Jesus came to the place, verse 5 in Zacchaeus, he said, hey Zacchaeus, come down. Zach, why are you in that tree? Come down. First of all, he's like, he knows my name. And then probably pride kicked in. Check this out. He didn't talk to all y'all, but he talked to me. But then the Bible says that the next verse says, and they saw it, and they started talking bad. The religious people and the other people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that Jesus is going to his house. He's a sinner. Yes and no. He was a sinner, but he's getting ready to be saved by grace. Come on, somebody. He's going from sinning to saving. So God had to go in there and love him and help Zacchaeus and talk him off the ledge and get him out of the tree and realize that the one that died on the tree for him knew his name, had a purpose for him, and it wasn't based on what he could do for him. It wasn't based on his money. And immediately when Jesus loved him, it says Zacchaeus said, hey, if I've ever done anybody wrong, I'm going to pay him back. Jesus didn't tell him to pay him back. You want to do better when you feel better. But if you feel bad, you keep doing bad. So the worst thing you can do is keep telling your husband he's bad. The worst thing you do is keep telling your kids you're just like your daddy. You don't want it to be just like the daddy. So you need to say you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're in the image of God. And if they ever do anything good, you get what you brag on. So you call those gifts and talents out of your kids. You call those gifts and talents out of your husband. You call those gifts and talents out of your pastor. That's good. That's awesome. Keep preaching. Don't sit there and just look at me. Come on, somebody. You get what you brag on. So let's talk about they a minute. It says, and they had a problem. I'm getting ready to set you free right now. I've stood on stages with thousands of pastors and told them this. I'm the one that cracked the code on they. In a group events, success, life coaching events, I've told them, I said, I've cracked the code on they. Here it is. Ready? They, wait for it, is them. They is them. So they come up and go, I don't like it that you don't wear socks. They never say that. They go, you know, they don't like it when you don't wear socks. They don't like it when you wear a suit. They like it when you wear a suit. They don't like it when you wear a shirt. They don't like it that you got a tattoo. That's my wife's name. It says N-I-C-O-L-E. It costs a lot of money because the square footage etiquette ain't. Come on, somebody right now, go with me. I'm calling things that be not as though they were. But I didn't get the tattoo based on religious people, because I didn't even want religious people to come to my church. I didn't wear the suit. Don't wear the suit. I have to be comfortable being me, because I am the only me that me can be. So I got to be the best me that me can be. And I was born original. I'm not going to die a copy. Who am I talking to right now? So you're trying to be somebody else. If I climb the ladder and I lose the weight, he will like me. If I get thicker. So let me tell you something about black girls. Come on, y'all. All these white people, you don't know anything about black girls. So here's the deal about a black woman. So how do you know about people that watch on TV? Obviously talking about black people. I pastor the biggest black church in St. Louis. I'm telling you right now, I know about. So a lot of my black daughters, they come up to me and they'll be like, hey, pastor, people won't ask me out because I'm too skinny. I want to be thick. Okay, so you can tell a black girl, you're thick, girl, and they like it. You tell a white woman that, she'll stab you. Come on, somebody, you understand what I'm saying? You can't tell a white woman you thick. You want to get rich? Make a size 12 and size it a 4. Everybody will buy your stuff. Oh, I wear a 4 in that. But see, so she's wanting to be thick. She wanted to be skinny. He wanted to be black. He wanted to be white. Then there's also different colors of black people. I didn't know that. Come here, Jalen. Just jump up here real quick. This is my son. I've had him since he was 14. And he will tell me, he'll be like, man, that dude's really black. I go, Jalen, you're black. He said, no, I'm mocha. There's different layers of black. Then white people talk about color. Oh, man, I'm uncomfortable talking about color. You know what? You were born white. You came out and you kind of turned purple. Doctor slapped you. You got mad. You turned red. Who are you calling color? Come on, somebody. It's different. There's different color. So God made us. Somebody help me right now. God made you who you are. So you got to embrace you. If you're too white, tan it like you want it. Rock that thing, man. But you're deceived if you're always trying to climb the tree. And then you'll really get jacked up if you worry about they, because they is them. So you got to just rock out who you're going to be. You need to say, God, I thank you that I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me and gave himself for me. God, I know that you said that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that I'm created in your image. I'm created in your likeness, that I'm created for good works. God, I decree and declare that favor and breakthrough is upon my life. God, I thank you that everywhere I go that I'm favored. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed coming out. No weapon formed against me will prosper, including me. I'm going to stop self-sabotaging talking about me. Said, so love your neighbor as yourself. You know the reason why you don't love your neighbor? Because you don't love you. If you'd even start liking you, we'd be better off. But you don't like you. I don't like me half the time. I'm like, I self-sabotage. You shouldn't do that. What'd you say that for? Hey, man. And then preachers all the time ask me, man, it's just really weird. How do you do what you do? I'm just me. So a while ago, I wasn't nervous at all talking about being thick, being black, being white. It don't matter if you're black or white. Purple rain. Purple rain. My dad was always confused because we were white. Well, they were white. And then he'd be listening to Merle Haggard, you know, like, and they'd be like, nar, 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 nar. Swing your partner, swing her around, kick her in the booty and knock her down. And I'd be over here singing, put on your red dress and let all your hair down. I'll make love to you like you want me to. Then I hold you tight. My dad's like, what? Baby, all through the night, I'm in love. But I had to be me. But then a lot of times, you know, they don't want you. They don't want you to be you. So then you try to be somebody else. If you're thick and you like being thick, go to the pool, wear your swimsuit. Don't follow the rule of like, hey, wait 30 minutes and then you can swim after you eat. Go swim and eat. Make all the skinny girls mad. Come on, somebody. They're over there starving. They can smell a graham cracker a half a mile away and you thick just rocking it out. And you're laughing, having fun. All the boys flocking to you. You're having a good time. And they're over there starving because they're mean-spirited and nobody wants to be around them. They'll be like, hey, hit me one time. Be you. Be because the you that was a little kid that pretended, that played with dolls, that played with trucks, that did that, what happened to your imagination? What happened to your dream? Well, they stole it from you because they said you got to be this and they said you got to be that. You got to be you. Come down, Zacchaeus. Come down out of that tree. I'm going to shake your tree today until you come out of that tree. We're going to keep shaking all the nuts out of the tree. Come on, somebody ought to help me with that. The fruit is out on a limb. Ephesians 1, I think they might could put it on the screens. I didn't give it to them, but Ephesians 1, 3 basically says that you've been chosen by God, adopted as his child. You were chosen by God, adopted as his child. You're chosen. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, I'm complete and I'm secure in him, not in who I am. If I lost this church, and I would hate it, but I would still be me. If I lost my wife, and I'd hate that. I have to get this tattoo all readjusted and everything. I'd hate that. But I'd still be me. If I lost my kids, I'd hate that. But I'd still be me. Your identity, until you find your identity in Jesus Christ and he who hung on the tree, you'll keep being mean-spirited, thinking that the thing that you can climb to will elevate you and make you. And I'm here to tell you today, no matter what the circumstances, we are not saved by our works. We are not saved by our own justification. We are saved through grace, and that not of ourselves, lest we brag about it. Come on, somebody ought to help me. So I'm telling you right now that is watching me, you that are watching in the middle of the night, you that are watching in the early morning, that you thought church was not for you. I'm talking to you right now in West Palm Beach, Palm Beach County, Del Rey, Boca, Jupiter. I'm talking to people in East St. Louis. I'm talking to people in all areas, O'Fallon, Ferguson, Florissant. I'm telling you that this is the weekend that you need to get up. Somebody ought to shout amen. And you need to stop trying to climb that tree. And you need to get to the house of God, discover your purpose, and find freedom, because you were built for more than this. And you are not what you did, but you are what you do. What do you do? You're doing something, right? Or you wouldn't be watching me right now. God's pulling on your heart. He's tugging on your heart right now. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen. And if you come out here, I promise you, we're going to love you back to health again until you can be secure being thick, being thin, being white, being black. I'm telling you that we are all created in the image and the likeness of God. And God is a good God, and he will free you from the shame and the game that has lamed you and framed you. Somebody ought to preach with me right now, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do it. You can be seated. I got excited there for a minute. I apologize. I just really want you to be free. Romans 8:28 says, I'm assured that the good works, I'm assured that God's working all things together for our good. That whole Romans, the 8th chapter, you should read it on your own time. It says, what can separate me from the love of God? Things present, things to come. Nothing can separate you from love. God loves you. And here's what really makes religious people mad with me. I'm not condoning sin, but I don't condemn it. So that's why every person who is in sin could feel comfortable coming to this church. Some people are like, I can't believe that. You would allow those people to come to your church? I'm like, well, I allowed you in, and you're judgmental. Just because someone sins different than you does not allow you to climb up on some high horse and judge them, because you don't know why they're doing what they're doing. But I do know that God knows that the way to fix people is to love people, not to try to thump them over the head. So just love everybody. You'll never go wrong walking in love. The Bible said the love of God draws men to repentance. So let's talk about our mouth for a minute. Stop saying bad things about you. I just always do that. No, you start seeing yourself successful. I'm successful. I'm an overcomer. I'm blessed. I never say I always do that. I just always forget that. I'm getting old. No, I always say, memory of the righteous is blessed. My youth is being renewed like the eagle. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The older I get, the better I am. I'm in better shape now than I've ever been in my life. And I'm in no—I have no performance-enhancing drugs. These are just my mouth, and my diet. But so many times, your life, as much as I want to blame it on my dad, and you want to blame it on who left you, it's up to you to decide. I'm going to change, because having that LMS, having that Z syndrome, that Zacchaeus syndrome, all men are bad. Not all men are bad. Some men are good. All women are bad. I'll never get married again. All women want, you know what? And then another guy, it's cheaper to keep her. I hear it all. You didn't get in that mess overnight, and you won't get out overnight. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God can do for you what medication cannot fix, what a counselor cannot fix. Dr. Oz, he don't have the answer. Dr. Phil don't have the answer. Oprah don't have the answer. I'm telling you, the answer is Jesus. Somebody ought to help me right now. And Jesus and His Word can make you become the person that you want to be. I want to talk to you that are sinners again. All of you and you and me. I love the fact that Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I'm not ashamed of you. Come down. Come here, Zach. Today I want to go to your house. I love that. Jesus identified with him in his current condition. You don't clean up to come to Christ. You come to Christ and God starts cleaning you up. And then you fall back in the mess again because your flesh never got saved. There's a difference between the real you and the spirit you. So when you die, maybe you're watching right now, and if you die, your spirit is coming out of your body. This is your earth suit. But this never gets saved. So that's why people, they doubt their salvation, because they think, man, why am I still thinking that way? Because you go to church and you hear a song and you're getting your revelation from a song. So it's like, looked at my hands and they look new. Looked at my feet and they did too. If you get to heaven before, I looked at my feet when I got saved and they looked the same. I got some crazy toe. Get off my no-shows. This crazy toe right here, it's like really, if I would have got saved and something changed, I'd want that to change. It's never touched the ground. It's off the ground. It's little. Nicole makes me get a mani-pedi with her, you know, so I go in there. And the other day, they said, oh, your little toe is so cute. Look at little toe. I'm like, shut up. But this never changes. So we're looking at the outward appearance when God is looking at the heart. So conditionally, we're right. When Jesus hung on the cross, conditionally, how many of y'all want to shake my hand now? So conditionally, when Jesus hung on the cross, our condition didn't change. Our position changed. We are saved by grace, and now we had a name change, and now we are in Christed, we are Christians. But our physical functions didn't change. So lust comes in, lying comes in. Every sin of the flesh that you have a problem with, and we all have, and the preacher who is always like, oh, I don't have that, get away from him because he's a liar and he will steal your wife. So, you can't judge your life on what you did. You judge it on what you do. So, for the most part, you do right. You do church. You do watching church. But you're about to come to church. But that's what you do. But the enemy tries to get you to boot up with the enemy who says, you never, you always, you're just like your dad. It runs in your family, and it's just the way you're always going to be. Listen, your family tree forked 2,000 years ago, and no longer now is your history based on, did your daddy have it? Did your mama have it? Yeah, we all had it, but when Jesus died, I got adopted in, and my bloodline changed, and now He's going to save me. He's going to heal me. Come on, somebody. I'm confident. Philippians 1:6 says, I'm confident that God will complete the good work that He started in me. Focus on started in me. We started working out. You don't get six-pack abs right away. You start trying to not abuse alcohol. You don't find freedom right away. But I don't want you saying, I'm an alcoholic and I will always be an alcoholic. No, I'm a former alcoholic, like Prince, remember? It's like he was the artist formerly known as Prince. So you're the alcoholic formerly known by that disease, by that abuse. But now you're saying, I was that. But now the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become brand new. And I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, created for good works. And now I'm going to approach God with confidence. Somebody ought to help me right now to know that what He started in me, He'll finish in me, because He knows my name. Stop climbing. Why are you climbing? Adam and Eve in the garden. She climbs the wrong tree. Moses climbs the wrong tree. Aaron climbs the wrong tree. All through the Bible, everybody's trying to climb. I bet it'd be better if, man, you can eat of all this, but not this. There's some things that God saves for himself. And you know one of his prized possessions that he saved for himself is you. He loves you. If there was only you on the whole planet, he would die for you. It's weird. I have a 13-year-old daughter. When she was born, I never thought I could fall in love with a bald, toothless woman. But I love her. There's not many people I'd die for. But her, she's my baby. But the Bible says that my love for her is devilish in comparison to God's love for you. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm just begging you to stop cursing yourself. I'm begging you to stop abusing these situations and these people based on this hurt. And we won't get out of this overnight, but I promise you, if you'll give this church a chance, you give God a chance, you'll have to introduce yourself to yourself a year from now because you won't recognize yourself, because you'll find freedom and you'll go, I'm just comfortable in my own skin. I'm thick. I'm black. I'm white. I'm this, I'm that. Whatever label you have, that label will limit you or that label will empower you. What separates me from other preachers is I'm different. People go, oh my gosh, you're so different. It's the first real preacher. It's like you're really talking to me. So I'm like a non-GMO preacher. It's like I'm not genetically modified. This is real, okay? So this is like organic. It's real. So there's parts of this I don't like. There's parts of it that I do like. But there's a whole lot of it I don't like. But I just go ahead and put the like and the don't like, the same thing, mix it up in a little stew, put it to you, and you go, I like that. Because you're not saying that you're perfect. You're saying that there was one that's perfect, and he has forgiven you, and you're still working on it, and you got a long way to go. But through the grace and the power of God, let's all love each other. As America, we need to come together and realize that together we're better. United, we stand. Come on, somebody. Divided, we fall. Love everybody everywhere. As I close, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. How many of y'all raise your hand here and wherever you're at in the world, God's looking at you. Raise your hand if you say, oh my gosh, you were talking straight to me. Raise your hand. I want to see it. You? You can put it down. God saw that. Admitting it, owning up to it, is the first step towards freedom. You're only as sick as your secrets. So you have to let somebody know. So I want us to repent to God right now. And then whatever you do, I want you guys to get in Growth Track. And I want you to get to church so you can find freedom. Because there's a whole lot of church that you're missing. You're only seeing a 27-minute spot when there's a whole program and the worship is phenomenal and the people are unbelievable. But I want you to pray this prayer. Say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sins. I want you to be my Savior. I ask you to forgive me. And from this moment forward, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to worship you so that I can find my freedom in Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Come on, give God praise today.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.